Loaf. Have you ever had olive loaf? What's that? You've had it? No. I didn't even know what it was. Olive loaf. I'm like, what in the world is olive loaf? It's just, it's lunch meat, right? So it's like bologna, salami. I don't like salami. It's like waxy to me, so I don't like salami. But Jen loves salami. Like, she's always, like, anyhow, there's certain things you like, and I mean, I'll eat it, but if it's on a plate, I'm not going for it. Like ring bologna, I'll go for that, but salami. So olive loaf, I was reading this story about olive loaf. And so then I was looking at the sliced olive loaf, right? And it has the olives in it. So it's nice and green. Right? That's why it's called olive loaf. So evidently there's a big trend now, I guess since the 40s, I guess that hit the high level of, you know, lunch meats hit the high level, like in the, after World War II, and everyone was making sandwiches, and it was, lunch meat was real big then. So now I guess a lot of the lunch meat, especially like olive loaf, is kind of like off the, no one's buying it, you know? So, this is an article. Then I was like, who has ever eaten it? So it was big, right? It was a big thing. So, I'm eating it. I looked at the pictures. I'm like, it looks like, what do they call that, Christmas time? Fruitcake. It looks like fruitcake. I'm like, yeah, I'm not touching that. So, but the olive loaf then led me into some jokes here about sandwiches. So we have some good sandwich jokes this morning. What is a deer's favorite type of sandwich bread? Wait, oh, that's a good one. Yeah. It's sourdough. I like the sourdough. What is a caveman's favorite sandwich? A caveman's favorite sandwich. A club sandwich. Okay. What do astronauts put in their favorite snack? Their famous sandwich. Sorry. I can't even read my own writing. Yeah, okay, Lodge. And what do pilots like to put on sandwiches? Nothing. They like it plain. Okay. They like the plain sandwich. All right. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. And Lord, I just ask as we open your word that you'll speak to us. Just help us to be good messengers, stewards, and things that we can do better in our life to for us here. Speak to us this morning. Just touch us. Pray for those things. In your name we pray. Amen. So last week, we left off with Barnabas, who were in Acts, right? So Paul and Barnabas, they were out preaching, and of course, where we are in chapter 13, now moving to 14, Paul and Barnabas were bumping around, getting beat up, getting kicked out of towns, and that's where we kind of left off, where the Jews in chapter 13, the Jews were like, get out of here, but then that's where we went to where the Gentiles were glad because the Jews rejected it, and the Gentiles were glad because they had salvation presented to them, which then took us to last week where we talked about predestination and how that kind of looks. So this morning, we're in Acts 14. Acts 14, we're going to start here in verses 1 through 7. Acts 14, 1 through 7. At Iconium, Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miracles signs, and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others sided with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews together with their leaders to mistreat them and stone them, but they found out about it and fled to Lycaonium, cities of Lystra and Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. I always say Derbe when I get to the correct terminology is Derbe, and I always want to say Derbe. I don't know why, but maybe that's, I say that we had, I won't go to that story. Let me concentrate here. I won't rabbit trail it. So when we look at this, we kind of put out today's message is starting up season, because we see it so great right now in our society, not just in our country, but across the world, where there's this stirring up of poison to poison our mind, which scripture talks about right here. It's kind of like, and it was great. It's a good thought for, Halloween time. I always think of, you know, at Halloween, you always see that witch who sits there and turns to stew, you know, and like the steam's coming up, and it took me to, Snow White. Right? Good example here of stirring up poison, where Snow White, I think that, is that in scripture, Snow White? Isn't that in scripture? No, I'm just kidding. White as snow, right? So, but you see that witch, she's kind of turning up that stew, and she's putting in, two sprinkles of spider, whatever, and she makes this poison and puts in the apple, right? So, stirring up the poison is happening here. And Paul and Barnabas are affected by this stirring up of poison, which when you look at it, so Paul and Barnabas move in, and as they have done throughout all of Acts, and what they standardly do is go into the synagogue. So they go into the synagogue, they go to the Jews first. And as they go into the Jews, they present the gospel, and they present everything about Christ, and they present the good news of who Jesus is. Then you have this filtration that starts to happen in the synagogue. And the Jews, some Jews believe, and some Jews don't believe. The Jews here that didn't believe then start to affect the Gentiles, and they start stirring up this poison, right? Which we know from the beginning of time, where Satan, when he talked to Eve through the snake, right, through the serpent, he used the serpent as a tool to get to Eve, stirred up that same type of thing, that poison, to verbal poison, right, a verbal poison to get into your mind, to get into your thought, to change how we think. And that's what Satan did, in the garden. God really didn't say that, right? Did God really say that? And that begins the questioning and doubting of what God was saying. We see it here. The Jews, Paul and Barnabas, go into the synagogue. If you think about it, yeah, I often think about the synagogues because, you know, they didn't have so different than how we are, right? They didn't have electric. Things were built out of stone. And so they go into the synagogue, and they sit with the Jews and the Gentiles at the time, and they begin to talk about the good news. This is Jesus Christ. This is and breaking it down once again, as they've done chapter after chapter here throughout their ministry, their first journey, right? So they keep going through, and then the Jews here now. And you think about this. So the Jews, since the Jews didn't really like the Gentiles, they weren't supposed to associate with the Gentiles, right? They take the Gentiles and they use them and take them to stir up the poison. So they kind of flee from Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas talking about the Messiah, and they go to the Gentiles, which I find ironic, right, that the Jews would do that, because it's a dividing line. They stirred up this division, and we see it in verse 4. It says, the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot to kill among the Gentiles and the Jews together with their leaders. So the Jews, number one, weren't real fond of the Gentiles, but they were more fond of the Gentiles to get and kill and come up and devise this plan of killing Paul and Barnabas, right? So they have this, they start stirring up this evil plan. Once again, it takes us back to our spiritual battle that we are in. And we can look at it on every single story in Scripture, and you can see the good and you can see the evil. And it's this constant theme, right, of the world. It's just a continually replay of the same exact thing. The evil and the good, the spiritual battle. Anything, especially then when it comes to the Messiah, it comes to Christ, it comes to salvation. Anything that comes to God, we have this spiritual battle. And right here, with this stirring up of the poison, it's kind of like, I think it was 1978. Jim Jones. Remember Jim Jones? So there was a guy. When I was doing, I was in college hanging drywall when I did construction, and there was a guy who was actually in the camp, and he was really like, so he just worked by himself because he was kind of like really, I don't know if he's alive still. I mean, that was 35 years ago, this guy for on a job site. But anyhow, so Jim Jones, young guys, do you know who Jim Jones is, Justin? Okay, so Justin doesn't know. Oh. Jim Jones was a preacher who started, I believe, in Indiana, and he started this church, and I don't know if he loved the Lord at the very beginning or not. I don't know any of the early details. I know there's a lot of movies and stuff out on the guy. So then he took his church and went to Indiana or to California, and it started to grow this church, and this was in the 60s, right around Vietnam. So there's a lot of push back and people against government. And so then he started to gain fame as this activist, and then took his following and then went to South America. And in South America, he started this cult. Like, I think it started in California, but then he took it to get away from any type of laws and stuff, and he could just do whatever he wanted to do. And so he had 912 people, and there's a couple more in this camp. And when this happened, there's actually a representative from California who were out in the camp that day when all these people died. So Jim Jones took, and his people, they stirred poison amongst the people. It's kind of like that, right? So this stirring up of poison. So Jim Jones had this cult, 912 people, that they said you have to, you ever hear the term, don't drink the Kool-Aid? Have you heard that term, Justin? Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Jivian, have you ever heard that term? Okay. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Comes from this story, because they said, Jim Jones said, everyone needs to drink this Kool-Aid or take this injection of Kool-Aid, and in it was cyanide. And I don't think it wasn't actually Kool-Aid. Poor Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid, and it really was just a blend. But all these people died. 912 people were murdered. Some of them were forced to take it, and they all died. 912 people died in that. So that's, don't drink the, was poisoned. They stirred up in that Kool-Aid poison. And that's what the Jews here were doing with the Gentiles. They were stirring up this poison. They didn't like what was taking place. They wanted Paul out of their town. They didn't believe what they were saying about the gospel. And they started to stir up this poison. Why? Because who was behind the stirring? Spiritual battle. Satan was behind it. Get these guys out of here. This is my town, right? I control the Jews in this synagogue. So Satan didn't want these people to hear the good news. So they started to stir up that poison. And as they stirred it, then the city became divided. As we said in verse 4, the people of the city were divided. So then they get this division going amongst these people, all from the standpoint then to kill Paul and Barnabas. That stirring up of poison. And it also happened, we see it years ago in the United States, and we still see it, but the stirring up of poison, even when we had prayer in our public school. So prayer in public school and Bible reading in 1949, and what an awful thing, right? Well, how bad it is to have prayer and Bible reading in public school. Is that such a bad thing, right? No, it's a great thing. And look where we are as society today. They can tell about transgender and all other stuff, but oh, you can't talk about the Bible or prayer unless you're a student that you bring it by yourself. But as a government entity, they're not allowed to do it today. Go figure. But that stirring up, so an advocate, Schumer, or what was the person's name? Shemp. They were atheists, and their son heard the Bible being read and prayer in public school, and that they started to stir up that poison. We do not want this in our school. This is unconstitutional. Start to take that poison and stir it in other people within that community. Then it goes to the courts, and then we are where we are today. The spiritual battle taking place. The stirring up of poison happened with the Jews, with the Gentiles, with their leaders, and that stirring up caused them to want to kill Paul and Barnabas for the simple fact of these men, the simple fact that these men walked into the synagogue. These men started to talk about the truth of what? The truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. That's why they wanted them killed. Simple as that. So where does that leave us today? How does this story fit in to what we do today? What we see today? We see it and you hear it on the radio. And we talk about it, like when we talked about it last week, about everything going on with the Charlie Kirk thing, his wife, and the Egyptian guy that was killed in France. All these things that are taking place is this constant stirring up. Where does that leave us today? Which is a good question. If we look at Proverbs 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. When people begin to stir up a poison, which we see here that the Jews were doing, at first, they weren't stirring it up out of, we're going to kill these guys. But as they continue to stir, that poison affects people. This hatred comes in and it overcomes people, which we see all throughout the early church. Every time the apostles, every time people went to present the gospel, when they began to speak the truth of Christ, when they began to speak the truth of salvation, over and over again, it leads to these people that we want to kill you. Right? It's that stirring of poison which leads into this hatred that changes a mindset of, I can't even listen to you because we don't agree on the same thing. So therefore, if we don't agree, I need to kill you. And that's what this is taking place. All through Acts, we see it. All through Scripture, we see it. And we still see it today. We see the division, this division mark, this stirring up of poison. And I'm not saying one side or the other, right? I'm just saying there's a division. And each side on the extremes do the same thing. They stir up stuff and they cause problems, right? Now, however you want to look at that, there's extreme groups. But when you come down and you kind of get into the reality of where Scripture lines up with what is biblical, what's a biblical worldview within our society, with people, within who Christ is, we know where we're lining up pretty well. So this concept that we have, what do we do as believers in our society when there's people that are trying to divide, and we're called as believers to do what Paul and Barnabas have done, of to continue to go out and present the gospel. We're supposed to present the gospel to people on the far right. We're supposed to present the gospel to the people on the far left. We're supposed to present the gospel to people that are seemingly living a good life, right? And people that seemingly are living an evil life. Our job is to tell them about Jesus Christ, right? That's our job. And that causes a division. And that causes hate. When the light gets puts onto that darkness, which what happened here with Paul and Barnabas, they go in and they start to talk about truth. Truth. And that truth then people don't like because they want to live in the deceptive lie that they're being told. And that lie then begins to filter in this overall hate. Jim Jones stirred in that poison. And as he stirred in that poison, these people followed him. Some of them followed him right, many of them, some of them were just murdered, followed him right to the death. 912 people who drank the Kool-Aid, who all died from cyanide poisoning because they were deceived and tricked. And this poison of this mentality affected this leader that they followed. Same thing happened here. Proverbs 10, 11, 12. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Once again, the righteousness, speaking truth, coming out of our mouth. But violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up dissensions, but love covers over all wrongs. Love covers over all wrongs. Does that tell us as Christians? Does that tell us in today's world, are we supposed to overlook people breaking laws, people to live in the sin however they want to live? No. That tells us we are supposed to be speaking truth to people, right? We're supposed to be speaking truth in a loving way that have people see that they are lost, to see that they're in darkness, because this spiritual battle they cannot see. We can see it. I hope we can see it, because it's happening every day all around us. all the time. When you see what's taking place across the world, the spiritual battle hasn't slowed down. It's ramping up, and it's rampant. And the wickedness is running more and more full steam towards the end. It has to, right? That's what we know at the end times. But we know we have to continue down this trajectory because at the end times, we know what has to happen. But yet, our job, just like Paul and Barnabas, we're out there to speak the gospel. But they found, okay, and then here they go. The people of the city were divided. Why were they so divided? In verse 3, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord. So Paul and Barnabas weren't speaking there like what they thought they wanted to speak. They were continually, they spent a lot of time there. Scripture doesn't say how much time. Was it a year? Was it 6 months? Was it a month? I don't know. They were traveling pretty good. You know, they kept getting kicked out, or they kept getting death threats because they were simply speaking truth of Christ, of the Messiah, of salvation, and they constantly were moving. Here, they spent time. And with this division, with this stirring up of the poison, which now caused division within this church, within this synagogue and within this city, which we find the same thing happening today in our society, what did they do? Did they just cower and run? They did run at the, excuse me, at the end, right, when they were getting killed, but it didn't that way. In verse 3, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for themselves, no. Speaking boldly for the Jews, no. Speaking boldly for the Lord. Speaking boldly for the Lord. And out of that, when they're out there speaking boldly, when they're trying to bring people to Christ from the Jews to the Gentiles, at that point they didn't care, right? They were telling people of the love of Jesus Christ. And with that boldness of telling of the scripture, telling of the good news of salvation, the people were divided. Why? Because of this hate that began to filter in and that stirring of the poison, and they pulled half the city this way and half the city this way, and now all of a sudden society in this city was up against each other, leading to friction, leading to once again the spiritual battle of good and evil, and this battle that's raging. So every time, which we know, Satan does not want Christ to move forward. He doesn't want people to know about salvation. He does not want people to know that Jesus is gracious, and through all messiness and all your sin, that Jesus is the one who will take that away and forgive you of everything you did wrong and come and give you salvation, which we talked about last week, to get to the Father. The spiritual battle just continued to rage forward, and this hate and the stirring up of the poison, which I hate to go back to the church again, but that's what happened here. All Charlie was doing was presenting the truth. And out of that truth, so many people did not want to hear the truth. They did not want to understand what Scripture said. They didn't want to understand any other type of viewpoint. And they started to stir up this poison. And we see it. One of our judges who almost was an assassination attempt against one of our judges, an assassination attempt against our president before he was president. But this constant hatred, this drive of a hate that people can't see past, because they're being tricked and deceived, just like they were, just like Adam and Eve in the garden, that they were tricked and deceived. The hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all these things, right? Love covers over the spiritual battle that puts... I know sometimes when I was on school board and there was these things that took place, I would get very frustrated, right? And sometimes I came home feeling like I just wanted a sword just to go in and you feel, cause you're battling, right? You just wanted to go in and just, cause you felt like you're in this battle. And I'm like, can't you understand? And at that time it was these policies that I was always like, are you kidding me? We can't vote for these policies. Like, we can't teach our kids these things. And I would get so mad just because people couldn't see it. That didn't cause me to hate everybody. I prayed for them more, prayed for students more, that they would have their eyes open, that the truth, people could see the truth. The love of Christ overlooks the sins that we have done and that people are doing right now. If there's people that, and I said this the other week, the young man that killed Charlie Kirk, is he open for salvation? Yes, right? He's a sinner just like we are, but he's still open to come to Christ and have his sins forgiven. We had this discussion the other day about Judas. Judas, an apostle who betrayed Christ, people ask me, well, will he be in heaven? Like, cause he had to do this. He was filled with Satan to betray Christ, but the prophecy was that Christ had to hang on that cross for his blood to be spilt for our salvation. And my answer to that is like, I don't know. I don't. Teaches that anyone can come to the Father and have forgiveness. Well, then doesn't that make Judas a man? If he asked for forgiveness, and I don't know, scripture doesn't say, we just know that he hung himself and, I mean, he was, I don't know. But salvation is open to all people. And that stirring up of the poison, when truth confronts the wickedness, it's this wall and this battle rages. And as the battle is raging, we see it across our country. We see it across the world. But what are we to do? As I said, when we talked about it, I'm going to read it again. 11 and 12. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. People, we're supposed to be that mouth, right? We're supposed to be the mouth that's giving Christ, that's giving the truth, that's giving the truth of righteousness from Scripture into our society. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. That wickedness, that battle. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. As we see this stuff unfold, we know that there's more hatred out there. I don't think it's going to stop. I think it's going to continue to ramp up. And now someone like me, where, and I've said this before, I have a tendency to get very angry, right? And anger doesn't help. Angerness does not help, but it's a love. We have a righteous anger love, right? But something I have to work on for me. But that an angerness doesn't help, but it's the love that we have to show people. That's what changes someone's heart. The love of Christ. That's what we need to remember as we see this stirring up on each side. This poison that's coming into each side to hate each other. We're not supposed to hate. We're supposed to love and supposed to speak the truth in righteousness and out of love for all humanity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. Lord, I watch everything going across the world, Lord, the hatred, the wars, the battle, the spilling of blood. If you're the same today, Lord, as you always have been, which your word tells us you are, then when people's blood is spilt, you're hearing that. You see what's going on. You hear the cries. You see the wickedness, Lord. Lord, just help us and remind ourselves that we can remind ourselves that our job is like Paul and Barnabas, to be speaking the truth, to helping people to come out of a lost state that they can begin to see and understand the gospel. Lord, help us to work that way. Help us to think that way. Help us to help and love other people just in that same way, Lord. For all you do for us, in your name we pray. Amen. As we go, shirt on this week, and it, what's your shirt say? Jules, doxology. So I said, Gavin, did you ever sing the doxology? He goes, what's that? So I was like, yeah, because Gavin, you've only been in going to church how long? Yeah, right? So take your hymnals. And you might not need the hymnal, but it's in page 14. Today, when I was a kid, we ended church, and many of you were the same way, right? We ended church with the doxology. So we're going to end church today with the doxology. And it's great because you guys were warmed up with hymns earlier, right? So Janet, you're ready to go. So everyone stand and with this, this is what we used to do in church all the time on this doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings come. Praise him, all creatures. Ye heavenly host, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.